The book of Psalms. We come today to Psalm number 1. And we will look at the first 5 Psalms today. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name. And we begin in Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Blessed means happy. So if you want to be happy as a Christian, then God is saying, make a clean break from sin. Do not listen to what ungodly people tell you to do. Do not try to be like them. That is the road to happiness if you're a Christian. 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The best way to avoid the misery that comes from being corrupted by the influence of the ungodly is to take in the Word of God regularly. Take in as much as you can, as often as you can. 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The benefits of being in God's Word may not show up immediately, but they will be there, in their season, at the right time. You will be what God wants you to be when he wants you to be it, if you saturate yourself with the Word of God. 4. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. The ungodly seem to have it pretty good, don't they? They seem to have it pretty good today. But it will pass away. It will quickly vanish, like dust in the wind. 5. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The ungodly will not make it through judgment day in one piece. The soul of an unsaved person is a vile thing to God, and he will not allow them to be in the congregation of the righteous. He will not allow them to defile his heaven or his new earth. 6. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God delights in godly people, and they shall be rewarded. But the wicked, along with all their ungodly ways, will come to nothing. They will perish. Psalm number 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? In other words, why do you ungodly people waste your time opposing God's ways? You're wasting your time. Why are you doing that? You're doing a useless thing. It's a vain thing. 2. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. And the anointed one here refers to Jesus Christ. All who oppose Christ and his church will end up ruined. All the power that the world can muster and that the devil can muster will not help them. They will end up ruined. 3. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. They say, we want to be free from God. We will not let God's anointed tell us how to live. We will not let Jesus tell us how to live. Like Pharaoh, they say, I don't know the Lord, and I'm not going to obey him either. The empty boasts of Christ rejectors who defy God. That's all that is. Verse 4, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Puny, insignificant, impenitent, sinful human beings God laughs at your boasting. He laughs at how you boast about how you're not going to let God run your life, or you're not going to let God tell you what to do. He laughs. God could have you in the flames of hell before you got to your next blasphemous word out, if he chose to. The only reason he isn't is because he's given you time to repent. 5. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, let's just stop there for a second. The ungodly will be terrified when they experience God's wrath. It's not a question of if, only when. God is patient, but not forever. And so on that day, these sinful boasters will not talk so smart. They're going to be terrified. 6. God says, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. God says, sinner, there is a king, and he's my king, and he's my son. And he will stomp out evil, and nothing will stop him from doing it either, including you. 7. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father, or I have begotten you. Begotten does not mean created. This is talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you see that term, the only begotten of the Son, or of the Father. And in this case, when God says in verse 6, I have installed my king, and then he goes on to say in verse 7, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father, or today I have begotten you. That is talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That fantastic miracle was the Father's way of declaring that Jesus is his son. He was, according to the Bible, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. 8. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. As a rule, a king inherits his kingdom from his father. When Jesus returns, God the Father will give his son, Jesus, the entire world to rule over. That is the kingdom that he is inheriting from his father. And this is the promise of God right here to his son. And he continues with this promise in verse 9. You will rule over them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. That's talking about Judgment Day. The first order of business for a new king back in those days was to get rid of all opposition to his rule. And that's what Christ will do. This is talking about Judgment Day. As I said, he will not allow his new earth, his utopian world, to be ruined by corrupt, impenitent sinners. All opposition will be destroyed. 10. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. In other words, use your heads. Learn your lesson before it's too late. 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Serve God with fear. In other words, serve God with reverence. And rejoice, but rejoice with trembling when it comes to God. Rejoice in how good the Lord is. Enjoy him. He is good to be around. But do not become overly familiar with him in the sense of forgetting that he is holy, in the sense of forgetting that he is God. Verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. There is no refuge from the wrath of God outside of his Son, Jesus Christ. Blessed are all who take refuge in Jesus. They escape the wrath of God. God's holy anger is going to explode. And so he is saying, welcome Christ into your life as Lord and Savior so that his holy justice and his holy anger does not consume you. Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? David is feeling like everything and everyone is against him. Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. In other words, many were saying about David, he's too far gone for God to help, which is never the case. We never have to think that anything is too hard for God to do or anyone too evil for God to forgive. Do not believe anyone who says your problem is too deeply rooted and too complex for God to fix. 3. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. If you belong to Christ, no problem, no situation can get to you unless it is first filtered through him. If we remember that, we will not fall into despair. David remembered that, which is why he said that God lifted up his head. 4. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. If you are a Christian, the only thing that will keep God from hearing your prayer is unconfessed sin. He will hear you if you don't have unconfessed sin in your life. He will hear you. He may not give you what you ask for, and he may not give it to you right away. He may wait, but he will for sure hear you. And that means an awful lot to someone who trusts in the Lord, to know that he hears them. Yeah, I mean, you can trust in God as long as you know you hear him, right? Or that he hears you, I should say. That was the case with David. Verse 5, I lay down and sleep. I awake again because the Lord sustains me. You don't need sleeping pills or tranquilizers if Christ is your Lord and you are trusting in him. Try praying. Try singing a song to God the next time you can't sleep. It's a good way to put your burdens on him and trust in him in a tangible way. Verse 6, I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. The odds may be against you, and no one may give you a chance, but none of that matters. If you are in God's will, you will succeed at whatever God wants you to do. 7. Arise, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. You can't lose in the end if you belong to Jesus Christ. Even if your enemies should succeed, God will turn it around. He will use it for your good in the long run. Ultimately, God breaks the teeth of the ungodly, and that's just a graphic way of saying they lose. 8. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. From the Lord comes deliverance. Real help comes from God. It may seem like you are sinking, but God will keep you from going under. He will save you. Psalm 4. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. The writer is not demanding that God hear his prayer. He is just humbly asking for God to hear. He wouldn't think of demanding. Christians are sinners saved by grace, which means that if God gives us anything, not just salvation, but if God gives us anything, it's due to his kindness, his unearned merit, unearned and unmerited favor toward us. No one has a right to demand anything from God in prayer or anything else, or in any other way. Nobody has a right to demand these things. Anything that God gives us that is even slightly good is a product of his grace. We have not earned. Verse 2. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? All people fill their lives with something. Everyone chases after the things that they think will satisfy them. People who do not know Christ chase after whatever it is they chase after, and whatever it is a delusion. The ungodly try satisfying their thirst for lasting contentment by by chasing a mirage. It just, they never get it. Because God is the only one who can satisfy permanently. 3. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. David was confident that God would hear his prayer because he was living for the Lord. A Christian, if a Christian does not have unconfessed sin in their life, then the moment they pray, God hears. God has set apart the godly for himself, and he will hear. 4. In your anger, do not sin. Now, this is something that we studied in the book of Colossians as well. In your anger, do not sin. But there is something wrong with a Christian who never gets angry, because he says, in your anger. It's assumed that there's going to be some anger there for God's people. So there's something wrong with a Christian who never gets angry. There are a lot of rotten things in this world to be angry at. There are a lot of sinful things in this world to be angry at. Just don't let anger turn into sin. In other words, don't let your anger cause you to lash out in an ungodly manner. It's always good to remember that an evil act does not justify an evil response. So in your anger, do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Very important to slow down, get quiet, and get along with God. And do it often. Verse 5. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Right living is here called a sacrifice. And it's a sacrifice because sometimes right living goes against our nature and our natural desires as sinful human beings. But we're still supposed to do it. Many are asking, verse 6, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. When things are not going the way you wish they were going, ask God to give you spiritual victory. If he can't, if in his wisdom he allows bad to happen to you, at least ask for spiritual victory. In other words, ask God to help you rise above whatever it is you don't like. 7. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. In other words, I have more joy in a regular day with God than an unsaved person has with whatever it is they do for kicks. In fact, it's not even close. And that is what the writer is saying. Verse 8, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. All the wealth in the world cannot buy you inner peace, because you're going to die, and you know it. And how is money going to make up for that? Christ is the only one who can give us the assurance that we are prepared to die. With Christ as our Savior, we can go to sleep tonight knowing that if we don't wake up tomorrow, we'll be okay because he paid for our sins. Psalm 5, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. In other words, please listen, Lord, and unscramble my words. Verse 2, listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. Don't worry if you cannot express yourself perfectly to God, because he hears the voice of our cries, meaning he knows our heart. He knows what we would say if we could say it. God is able to translate our cries, our groans, into prayers, because he knows what's going on in our heart, even better than we do. 3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. God deserves to be number one. Number one in devotion. Number one in priority each day. It only makes sense for a Christian to think, I don't want to start this day without talking to God about it. Verse 4. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot dwell. Speaking of spending time with God, notice he does not socialize with those who have unconfessed sin in their life, unrepented sin in their life, and still won't repent and still won't confess. 5. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. God loves sinners in that he died for their sins and he would forgive them. But at the same time, God hates sinners who refuse to repent. God's love is seen in the cross. God's love for sinners is seen in his self-sacrifice. You can't love anybody more than that. But his hatred is how he feels. He has no warm feelings toward impenitent sinners. But he still loves them. He loves them, but he doesn't like them. 6. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men, the Lord abhors. False doctrines lead people to hell. And lies destroys relationships between people. No wonder God will destroy liars. Someone says, well, I don't lie. I just bend the truth a little bit. Well, that's deceit, and that's just as bad, and God wants honesty. 7. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence will I bow down towards your holy temple. God destroys the wicked who will not repent, including liars, in hell. And we Christians really deserve the same treatment. It's only by the multitude of God's mercy through Jesus Christ that we are saved. Verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me. In other words, direct me, Lord, in all that I do. Let me do things your way, and protect me from my enemies. 9, not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Some people's words are as deadly as bullets. Slick-talking, gossiping slanderer can do a lot of damage. And there's really no way to counter vicious words once they are spoken. Once they have been spoken, what are you going to do? Because you can't reel them back in. You can defend yourself, but there will always be those who believe the lies. The best thing to do is just ask God to use that slander or that gossip for good and trust him. Because what else are you going to do, really? Doesn't pay to fret over it, or you'll just rob yourself of joy. Trust God like everything else. 10. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. It is important to remember that when someone sins against you, it is primarily rebellion against God. A sin may sting you, but God always takes the brunt of any sin's blow. 11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. The best thing to do when someone sins against us is to trust that God will use it for good and that he will take care of business if the person does not repent. If we do that, we're not going to lose our joy. That's how we take refuge in God. It all boils down to trust, doesn't it? 12. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. God appreciates a righteous person. One who has a real heart for God gets special attention from God. And in some form, continual blessings from God as well. We'll pick it up in Psalm number 6 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.